Blog Talk Radio.
Calling all sports fans, there's only one place to go to get all your sports news, information, radio shows, sports talk, anything that you want to do, that's RFSN, the Real Fan Sports Network. Log on to realfansportsnetwork.com to hear shows from across the country. And of course, make sure you can hear this show on the Real Fan Sports Network. Go to TuneIn Radio on the TuneIn Radio app and search for RFSN to get sports talk 24/7 from a fan's perspective. That's the Real Fan Sports Network, realfansportsnetwork.com.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Late Shift. I'm your host, Rodney Fisher. Hopefully, we'll be joined by Royce Fisher later on the show. He is actually going to bring us a live report, hopefully, from the Clippers and Mavericks game, who's about to wrap up on this Monday night. I want to welcome you guys and remind you as well that tonight's show is also being brought to you by Rally House. So make sure you go to rfsportsradio.com, click on the Rally House button, that way you can get free shipping, all because you're listening to tonight's show. And also check us out on TuneIn Radio, on the TuneIn Radio app. Just search for RFSN. And there you can hear basically 24/7 sports talk, not just this show, but, you know, all kinds of shows from everyone, from basketball to baseball to wrestling to everything. So make sure you check us out there as well, too. We got a lot to talk about tonight, as the title kind of leads us into a couple of discussions. First of all, I am live in Bozeman, Montana. And I know a lot of people that have been listening to us for the last 5 years is probably saying, why in the hell are you in Bozeman, Montana? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Also talk to you about my travels and getting to Bozeman, Montana, which is a pretty interesting story as well. We're also going to get into a little bit about Dean Smith, of course, the passing of the legendary coach. We'll talk about him, as well as some of the other stuff that's going on with sports, from Greg Popovich getting his 1,000 win tonight, which will be a big topic tomorrow, as well as the Los Angeles Clippers, who seem to be bouncing back after losing Blake Griffin for quite some time, as well as some injury updates from the Mavericks. We understand that two players may be injured. We'll find out more about that. And also getting to Greg Hardy, we'll talk a little bit about the letter from James Dolan, the owner of the New York Knicks. So we've got a ton of stuff to talk about. But first, before we get into our topic, let me tell you exactly why I'm in Bozeman, Montana. Okay, so as you guys know, I cover sports, been doing it for quite some time, not just hosting a radio show, but also writing on the website, going to games, and it's one of the things we kind of pride ourselves on. Well, on top of that, I also do a little bit of sales coaching, sales training, if you will, just something else that I do. And it's been a great thing for me, being able to talk to people and work with people. And that's kind of brought me to Bozeman, Montana. And my first time in Montana, it's a beautiful state if you guys haven't been. The mountain ranges right now, got some snow on them. Of course, there's nothing like, say, what's going on in Boston or New York. And those of you guys that are out in the East Coast is getting hit with tons and tons of snow. I feel you, because I'm going to be out there at the end of the week for the All-Star game, and I'm hoping that some of that snow will either melted or at least the snow will stop falling in that area. But anyway, so I'm a little bit further west. I'm in Montana right now, in Bozeman. I'm actually looking at the mountain range from where I'm sitting at. Beautiful sight. So I leave Dallas-Fort Worth, catching a flight from Dallas to Denver, and then from Denver to Bozeman, Montana. And I get on the plane in Dallas, full flight, having to check my carry-on bag because there's no overhead space. And unfortunately, while we get on the runway, one of the passengers gets sick on the plane. Now, I don't know how sick. He was a few rows in front of me, so I don't know how serious the situation was, but when someone gets sick on the plane, I understand now there's this big protocol in terms of making sure they clean up everything, making sure they disinfect everything. So long story short, we had to come from the runway back to the gate, wait for the paramedics to come to check the guy out on the plane, and then take him off of the aircraft, and then the cleaning crew come on the plane and clean up the area in which the man was sick at. So This all took quite some time, which made me late for my connecting flight. And I didn't get into Montana until that night when I should have got in that afternoon. One of the interesting things that kind of, you know, had me thinking as I'm sitting here watching paramedics come on a plane, and I'm thinking, number one, I'm glad I wasn't in the air when all this was happening, though we may have landed in who knows where, Oklahoma somewhere. The other thing that caught my attention was, you know, if this is such a hazard and you had to clean the plane and do things of that nature, how come we're still on the plane? How come we can't get off the plane, disinfect the entire plane? Why do we get to stay on while you just concentrate on this one particular space or particular seat? But anyway, new protocols I didn't know anything about. I get to Denver, of course, I missed a flight, and the airline was kind enough to put me on the next plane. And the next plane I got on, believe it or not, was a decent-sized aircraft. I thought it would be one of those, you know, crop duster kind of planes going from Denver to Montana, but it was a decent-sized plane, and it was just me and about 10 other people on the plane. So I got a chance to stretch out. I got a little first-class kind of treatment, drinks and peanuts and the whole nine. So it actually worked out in my favor. So I've been in Bozeman, Montana since Saturday, and it's been a great experience so far. I hope to get back to Dallas tomorrow. We'll just see how things go. But that's the whole reason why I'm in Bozeman, Montana. So if you're in Bozeman right now or in Montana, you know, send me a shout-out. Hit me up at RF Sports Radio on Twitter. Let me know you're listening to us in Montana. And I'm still looking for a great steak, you know. So if you this steakhouse in Montana, you guys have to have one. Let me know, because I still want to give me a great steak before I leave Montana. So anyway, that's my story starting out the show. Let me jump right into Dean Smith and talk a little bit about him. Dean Smith, of course, the legendary head coach for the UNC Tar Heels. And of course, a guy like this passes away and you get a chance to see how legendary he really was. All his players, of course, past players like Michael Jordan, James Worthy, all coming out saying some great things about him. But also his coaches, the rivals that he went up against, from Mike Krzyzewski to everyone's really talking about him, Bobby Knight. All these good stories coming out about Dean Smith and what a great coach he was. And, you know, as a younger sports fan, of course, I saw him on the sidelines of North Carolina. I wasn't really into college basketball when Michael Jordan was there, James Worthy was there. But, you know, one of the interesting things I found was one of his favorite players was actually Rasheed Wallace. And I can remember watching Rasheed Wallace play in college. And it's interesting that he would bring him up after all the other great players he's played. But as more information comes out about him and I get a chance to learn about him, the biggest thing that caught my attention was, you know, what he's done for race relations and just and not just in college basketball, but really in the whole state of North Carolina. And it reminded me of the story of Dean Smith and how he recruited Charlie Scott. And Charlie Scott was really the first black athlete on athletic scholarship at North Carolina. So I found this great article on Huffington Post. I might tweet this article out, but it has these great stories about what Dean Smith was able to do for black athletes and also for civil rights in North Carolina. So I'm just going to read you some quick excerpts from what he's done. And it's just really fitting to really, you know, talk about how great of a person that he was. This is straight from the Huffington Post article. That Smith unsuccessfully tried to integrate his high school's all-black and all-white basketball teams as a teenager in Kansas. Smith was the first UNC coach to recruit a black athlete, as I mentioned before. Smith later blew up on a fan of an opposing team when he called Scott a derogatory name. And Coach Smith was so upset, they said, that he had to be held back from going after the fan after he was trying to go after Charlie Scott and talk bad about Charlie Scott from the stands. Also, in an attempt to fight racial segregation, Smith went with a black student to a historically all-white restaurant shortly after the passage of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. This is not a basketball player. This is just a black student who he went to an all-white restaurant with to sit down and have dinner. And also in 65, Smith helped a black graduate student buy a home in one of Chapel Hill's all-white neighborhoods. The graduate student's name was Howard Lee, and he would later become the town's mayor of Chapel Hill. That's the awesome story. Smith also told his assistants that if any of his players needed to talk to him, he should interrupt whatever he is doing, no matter how important it seemed. That's one of his biggest rules he had for his team. Also, and I didn't realize this as well, but when you see players pointing at the players after they get a pass, that was something that he started. He also started the whole thing with players standing up and clapping and applauding when guys come off the court, you know, to really be that whole team kind of concept. So learning more and more about Dean Smith as they talk more about him, but very, very good to hear some of the stuff that he did outside of the world of basketball. And for a man like that to take those kind of controversial stances in the 60s and being a forefront in the state like North Carolina, kind of bringing things around, that deserves to be talked about. And I'm going to talk about it. So rest in peace to Dean Smith. I know his impact will be definitely felt in the college world, but even more importantly, just on the world in general. So big, big shout out to him and his family as well. Now, in the coaching profession also, Greg Popovich gets his 1,000th win as a head coach, of course, the coach of the Spurs. And I knew this was going to happen against the Pacers. Now, he owns the Pacers. I think his record is like 26-7. He's got the best coaching, you know, against any team in the Eastern Conference. He has the best record against the Indiana Pacers, so only fitting that he would beat them. The Spurs, of course, on their rodeo kind of road trip as the rodeo is going on in San Antonio. And this is usually when they start turning it up a notch throughout the season, kind of galvanizing together before the All-Star break. And this is when they really start becoming that type of team. So be interested to see what happens to them because they haven't looked like the championship Spurs over the last couple of weeks. Definitely make that push now, and having that 1,000 wins, a big, big chance to do that. Also in news today as well, too, this whole Greg Hardy situation is pretty interesting. Something I'm going to be following very, very close. Greg Hardy, of course, is placed on the exempt list after playing one game last year for the Carolina Panthers because of a domestic assault charge. And at the time he was charged, he was actually convicted. He filed an appeal. And today, when they go to court for the appeal, the victim in the case, the young lady, has not been cooperative with police. She didn't even show up to anything. She hasn't been talking to them. So the judge actually dismissed the entire case today. Now, what's interesting to me about this entire ordeal is now what does the NFL do in terms of punishment for Greg Hardy? Since they did put him on the exempt list, and he, of course, has the charges now officially dropped. Now, in the new kind of Roger Goodell domestic violence policy, he would still get suspended no matter what happened on the legal front. So I expect that to happen. But what's a bigger concern to me is now that the victim has basically gone silent or just kind of disappeared, there's been a lot of reports and rumors circulating that Greg Hardy may have paid this victim off in some type of civil settlement, some type of monetary deal where she could kind of vanish and go away and kind of put this thing to bed. Now, if that is true, if for every reason Greg Hardy used money, influence, whatever you want to call it, extortion in some cases, you may hear people say it as, if he did something like that to get this victim out of the way, then I think not just the NFL needs to look at that, but everyone needs to look at that, especially on the criminal side of the investigation, because, I mean, that's a big, big, big thing. And for Goodell, I hate to be in this position because now he's going to be judged based on how he handles this. He's going to have to figure out a way to do it because we all know that he messed up on the Ray Rice situation. So now how is he going to make up for his mistakes in the Ray Rice situation and with this Greg Hardy deal? So there's a lot going to be going on with this. I'm going to be watching it very, very closely because, again, money influence does so much for people. And now money and influence of Greg Hardy has put this victim basically in the shadows. and had this case dropped, then what is the NFL going to do? It's a private thing. You're employed by the NFL. You can make your own rules. So I'm very, very kind of watching this close because I want to see what happens, what the NFL decides to do. And rest assured, it's not just the media going to be watching this closely, but the players will be watching it closely as well, too. They're going to figure out how much he holds this domestic policy to the letter of the law, what's left up to interpretation. And if you're the Players Association, how do you handle it? I mean, how do you defend a guy who may have paid this victim off? What do you say? In the court of public opinion, how do you make this seem okay? And now the victim has disappeared or doesn't want to cooperate. Very interesting type of ordeal that's soon to be played out for all of us to see. The Buffalo Bills, they signed Richie Incognito. If you heard anything I've said about Incognito, I don't feel like he deserves to be in the league for my own personal reasons. But, again, he's a football player, and football players are going to get chances, especially offensive linemen. If you can play linemen and you still have some health, you're not banged up, you're serviceable in some kind of way, you will get chances in the NFL. And to say that this is his last chance would be a pretty big understatement because we all know if he messes up in any kind of way, he's going to basically be done. He's going to be out of it, for sure, out of it as well. Let's jump into some other news. Let's get off of the bad stuff and jump into some good stuff real quick. And let's talk a little bit about the upcoming All-Star game. And now we learned since Blake Griffin is going to be out that Damian Lillard will, in fact, get a chance to play. So I guess that all of the so-called controversy by him getting voted in or by him not getting picked by some of the coaches to be a reserve, I guess all that kind of, yelling, crying, however you want to look at it, is now going to work in his favor because he'll get a chance to play. And what's interesting, though, is something that he should really be mindful of and take a look at is when Kobe was not going to play, the first person that they went to was DeMarcus Cousins. It wasn't to Damian Lillard, as people thought. But he's going to get the chance to play, get a chance to kind of prove his point, and he gets a chance to prove his point on the big stage. So I want to be, when I get down to New York, I want to see what the kind of the mood is for Damian Lillard now that he's actually going to be there, and also how some of the players feel about some of the things that he was saying about he deserves to be there. And because if you feel like you deserve to be there, and there's somebody on that team that you think deserves not to be there. So I'm going to be interested to see what the mood is for some of these players when I get to New York here in a couple of days to find out how they feel about him finally making the team and some of the things he said and did to try to get there. So, and also in the All-Star break, we're going to find out at the end of the All-Star break what happens to Ray Allen. We learned today that Ray Allen is going to make a decision based on where he's going to go. He's narrowed it down to a few choices, and of course these are pretty obvious choices for Ray Allen. Of course, he's thinking about going to Cleveland. He's also thinking about going back to Miami as well. He's also thinking about going to Washington, San Antonio, Golden State, the Clippers, and the Hawks. Now, if I was Ray Allen, and if I had those choices, okay, to me, I would go to the Warriors, the Spurs, or the Hawks. I wouldn't go to Cleveland. I just don't think, you look at all the other guys that follow LeBron to Cleveland, the Mike Millers, the Sean Marions, okay, the James Jones. They're not getting a lot of playing time, Ray. Even though they're good players, even though they're spot up shooters, they're still trying to figure out how to work Kevin Love into this whole deal. So I wouldn't go to Cleveland. I wouldn't go to Miami because I just don't think Miami is primed or ready to win a title right now. But if you can go to a team like the Hawks, the way they could spread the floor, could you imagine Kyle Korver and Ray Allen on the court together, spreading you out between one three-point line, one corner to the other corner, And then could you imagine Ray Allen and Golden State? And imagine a lineup with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Ray Allen on the perimeter. I mean, that's 125 points a game. You know, that's like a made up team on NBA Live. So I would advise Ray to do that. And then of course, if you want to go with a veteran squad with a good chance to win, you can't go wrong playing with the Spurs. You know, you lost to them. You know what they can do. They can use a 3-point shooter. You can come in there. You can win your title. Play with a veteran team. Play with a good coach. So that's always a possibility for Ray. But if I was Ray, I'd stay away from the Clippers. I'd stay away from Cleveland. And I really wouldn't go to Washington either. I'd pick the Hawks. I'd pick the Spurs. Or I'd pick the Warriors. That's the route I would go. So we're going to find out what Ray Allen's going to do. Maybe he'll be walking around in New York and we'll get a chance to ask Jesus Shuttlesworth himself what he wants to do and what he decides to do. The Clippers, to me, are really in bad shape. They did get the win tonight over the Mavericks, but they're in bad shape because now they don't have Blake Griffin, who is going to miss a considerable amount of time due to a staph infection and pretty serious in terms of Blake Griffin's health. I know they say he could be back in 3 weeks or so, but you don't know how these things go. He had surgery to remove staph infection from his elbow, and anytime you get to the point where you have to have surgery to remove an infection, it could be pretty serious. So hopefully they caught it in time. It didn't affect any other organs, anything like that, because infections are a serious deal. So hopefully he can come back and be ready to go. But I would be very, very concerned if I'm a Clippers fan. A real big concern for what Blake Griffin is going to do. And if you haven't heard my rant about the Clippers, let me just say, I don't think they're title contenders. I don't think they can win an NBA title the way they're constructed right now. To me, they just don't have the mental capacity for a title. I like Chris Paul. I think he's a great point guard, but let's face it, he's one of those guys that looks for the foul first and the shot second in a lot of cases. You look at DeAndre Jordan, who is a big guy, able to push guys around, get rebounds, and yet he's surprised every time he gets a foul called on him. Blake Griffin feels like he probably never had a foul called against him ever. So until they can figure that out, until Doc Rivers can get in their head and kind of teach them and tell them what it takes to really be a champion in this particular league, how tough you have to be, then it's gonna be pretty hard for the Clippers to do anything. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and wrap up this show. Again, thank you guys for listening. You listen to The Late Shift. We'll be right back in 30 seconds.
Calling all sports fans. There's only one place to go to get all your sports news, information, radio shows, sports talk, anything that you want to do. That's RFSN, the Real Fan Sports Network. Log on to realfansportsnetwork.com to hear shows from across the country. And of course, make sure you can hear this show on the Real Fan Sports Network. Go to TuneIn Radio on the TuneIn Radio app and search for RFSN to get sports talk 24/7 from a fan's perspective. That's the Real Fan Sports Network, realfansportsnetwork.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you guys for joining me for The Late Shift. It is Monday. We got a big week coming up. We got some guests coming on tomorrow. We're going to have Liddell, the closer Williams, pro boxer, on with us, who is always a great interview. Number one, he's very outspoken about boxing. He's got some fights coming up he wants to announce. As well as we'll talk about this Mayweather-Pacquiao thing and see if it's really going to happen. I feel like they're closer now than they've ever been. We'll find out from a boxer if he thinks it's going to happen. He's had a chance to be kind of involved with that somewhat, so we'll try our best to get the inside scoop on that as well, too. As we lead up into the All-Star break, we got some interviews coming up as well. We'll be in live in New York on Friday night, so make sure you tune in for that show because it's going to be a great one. And again, you can follow us online at RF Sports Radio on Twitter, or go to the website, rfsportsradio.com. Again, tonight's show being brought to you by Rally House. And if you go to our website, click on the Rally House button, you get free shipping courtesy of listening to the show. So that's been our show tonight, live from Bozeman, Montana. Again, if you're in Montana, hit me up. I want to know where the best place is to get a Hennessy on the rocks. Where's the best place to get a nice steak? Hit me up because I'm going to be here for a little while. And also just thank you to everyone for listening tonight. Make sure you stay tuned for more programming right here on rfsportsradio.com. See you tomorrow night.
Calling all sports fans, there's only one place to go to get all your sports news, information, radio shows, sports talk, anything that you want to do. That's RFSN, the Real Fan Sports Network. Log on to realfansportsnetwork.com to hear shows from across the country. And of course, make sure you can hear this show on the Real Fan Sports Network. Go to TuneIn Radio on the TuneIn Radio app and search for RFSN to get sports talk 24/7 from a fan's perspective. That's the Real Fan Sports Network, realfansportsnetwork.com.